Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zafalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubzafalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. Yvonne Hudson, otherwise known as Mrs. Shakespeare. Not Ms. She's a married woman, right?
She is a married woman, yes. Although her husband isn't around a whole lot.
But not these days.
That's the story. Mm. That's the story.
Now, this is a character that you've created and that you play, but you have quite a history in the performing arts. And we are here chatting with you today for Cocktail Hour outside of the Henry Heyman Theater on Pitt campus. So what is your connection to Pitt?
Well, it's significant, and for Mrs. Shakespeare, because I came here to the Department of Theater Arts to work on my master's in theater production, administration, with a focus on management. And the Shakespeare Festival that was here at the university for many years was going on, and I was the marketing and public relations director, but taking classes with Dr. Attilio Favorini, resident Shakespeare expert, and becoming more curious about Shakespeare's work and life. So during that time, I had an idea about doing a project around Shakespeare's wife, because I thought, well, she's kind of an unknown character. I was doing a lot of promotion. I would get calls for someone to go out and do a presentation. And originally the concept was that it would be a promotional piece that I could run out when the actors weren't around, not having arrived yet for the summer, to promote the Shakespeare Festival. So this is where my research started at Hillman Library and the Curtis Theater Collection and some other significant places in Shakespeare's life as well.
Sure. So with this show that you have written and put together in which you play Mrs. Shakespeare, we're essentially learning about Shakespeare, the man, and his work through stories and readings from his wife. Is that correct?
Exactly. So what I've done with the piece over the years, it has changed. Initially, it was a little bit more of an educational less episodic kind of piece.
And now it's more burlesque, right?
Now it's definitely on the burlesque side. A little lustier, as I say. Not really, no. It's always been family fare, but the original piece had a lot of singing. I was studying voice here at the university with Claudia Pinza, who was then teaching in music. So I had a lovely little recital of Renaissance and Shakespeare-related songs. Originally, I had a lutenist who accompanied me, and the piece was fairly simple. Then over the years, as I revisited it here in Pittsburgh, when I lived in New York for 11 years, as I've moved around the Northeast a little bit and come back to Pittsburgh, the shows continue to develop and change based on my research, my travel to Stratford-upon-Avon, some research that I did there. So it's been kind of a, as I say, a labor of love born of curiosity.
Oh, that's good. I hope you have that written down somewhere.
Yes, that's about the best way to describe it.
And there have been plenty of portrayals of William Shakespeare. I think plenty of shows written about him. But this, I believe, is the longest running show about his wife. Well, there are a few to begin with. And this is one of the longest running ones in existence.
Yeah, there's a play called Bingo, for example, by Edward Bond that Anne appears offstage kind of as a madwoman, pulling sheets under the door, and it's Shakespeare's late life when he's dealing with his property, ownership in Stratford, in his retirement, if you will. So she's not even on stage. Mm-hmm. After I started performing and doing things with Mrs. Shakespeare over the years, a few other pieces emerged, but in following those and what the competition is doing, if you will.
All those other dastardly Mrs. Shakespeare's out there.
All those other Anne Hathaways out there. I can see that I'm the one who sort of stuck with her the longest. Mm-hmm. So I've made it my mission in terms of my research to keep up with any of the research archaeological research in Stratford-upon-Avon, of course, where she lived and probably spent her whole life, in order to keep the piece accurate and current in terms of those references that I've woven in with my script and with excerpts from his works.
So Shakespeare's wife's name was Anne Hathaway. Now, do you find that she is often mistaken for the much less famous Anne Hathaway, who is currently acting in motion pictures?
Yes, so when you Google Anne Hathaway, usually the young actress comes up. Although I think she would make a good Anne Hathaway, actually.
Now there's a concept.
She would, yes, Anne Hathaway is Anne Hathaway. Anne Hathaway was probably born Agnes. She was the daughter of a farmer. And the Shakespeare and the Hathaway families probably knew each other. So there's a little bit of history and documentation related to her family. But one of the things that piqued my interest was that when I initially did my research, I couldn't find out much about her.
Mm-hmm.
Now you'll find a little more. Now when you Google Anne Hathaway, you will find references to me and my show. And I inserted some things in the Wikipedia article from my point of view, that type of thing. But she's not as well known.
Now, you are somebody who has, in some very literal ways, spent a lot of time in Mrs. Shakespeare's shoes. You've done your research, you've done this play, and I have to imagine have filled in a lot of gaps as far as her personality, what she was like, based on what you may have researched. So what can you tell us about how you portray this woman and how you feel that, who is she really?
Well, when I initiated my research, I was also annoyed that most of the scholars at that time, all men, didn't like her very much and were very dismissive of her and described her as surely being the shrew who had driven him to London and things that really had no basis whatsoever, in fact. So that kind of gave me some impetus to research her further. So what I decided to do with the piece was to look at their relationship in terms of perhaps how they met, how I suppose they might have met, and how they continued for so long despite these long absences that he had. Their marriage was 23 years long before he passed away, and he always came home. Mm-hmm. There was documentation that he came home because he bought them a house. After he was successful, he got his family a coat of arms, something that was important to people in those times as a status symbol, if you will. So we know that he didn't just disappear and desert her, despite other things he might have been up to romantically or infatuations he might have had, that also aren't absolutely documented in terms of, you know, being sure that's what happened in his personal life. So I decided that if people were going to come and spend about an hour with Mrs. Shakespeare, that they would need to not hear her railing so much about him the whole time, but get to know her better.
Sure.
And that it wouldn't be just about, you know, where is he, when's he coming home, I have supper.
A lot of people have come to see your show to escape that very thing.
Exactly. So I decided that they must have had an attraction at least, that they probably loved each other, and that they were at least friends, and as many couples do, they find a way to make it work, despite the obstacles, despite having what we would now call a commuter marriage.
Do you think Shakespeare was a good lover?
Well, when we consider how he wrote about love, I would have to think so.
Now, although he could be one of those guys who was all talk.
He could have been all
what
talk.
What do you think?
Well, I depict that he charmed her with his words that probably had her head spinning, and that, you know, he was a young man speaking in a way that she'd probably never heard before. So I presume she might have been kind of charmed and bowled over, as a lot of people were, by him in person. But as we also know, a lot of writers are very different as a writer. Things that come out of their mind, out of their experience, out of their imagination versus what they're like in person. So
right, and in person, we know,
can't be sure.
Right, we know very little about his personal life. I mean, it's all in those plays, which is why a lot of scholars, I'm sure you've heard the theory, you know, theorized that it was not Shakespeare who wrote these plays, because there's very little evidence of Shakespeare the man outside of, you know, what he put on the page. Some of the theories are that it was nobility that wrote the plays and things like that, that a commoner, so to speak, could not have possibly had this sort of knowledge, this sort of wit, this sort of imagination. What do you think about that?
Well, I actually get asked that question at the end of my show sometimes after presenting for, you know, anywhere from half an hour to 90.
It's a hot topic still.
Yeah, to 120 minutes. People, do you think he wrote the plays? And I'm like, well, did you listen to what I just said? Because I decided, based on my research, that he did. And the focus that I've had for this piece and some work around it has been his life story, his biography, what happened to him. And there are words in his works that surely he could have spoken himself, or that he and Anne could have spoken to each other, particularly about the loss of their son, Hamnet, who died at age 11. There's nothing more profound than the loss of a child. I can't imagine anything that would be more devastating than that. And what he says in his works about that, and I use some of those words, Queen Constance from King John, "Grief fills the room of my absent child." She talks about grief filling up his clothes and being so present that it's almost as if he's there, but he's not. It's heartbreaking, and I think that that's something that Anne might have tried to convey to William. Hamlet, the play Hamlet, which so explores everything from the afterlife to what happens to the body after death, all these things that are just the things nightmares are made of, almost. And he plays that out through the character of Hamlet, which was written after his son's death. The two names were somewhat interchangeable at that time. So for something to be that specific and so personal and so tortured, I have trouble believing that he, this man that we know lived in Stratford and was a Glover's son, the son of the bailiff, things that are documented, went to London, worked in the theater, that he didn't write these plays is hard for me to accept, because I've kind of gone to a different level of emotion and psychological exploration, somewhat like Harold Bloom in his scholarship, where he talks about Shakespeare inventing the human personality. So his book about Shakespeare and the human personality is, you know, it's all pre-Freud, it's all there.
Sure. So authenticity, clearly, is very important to you in performing and composing this piece. You even have a great period costume that you wear as Mrs. Shakespeare. And I believe you designed this yourself, is that correct?
I did. I needed a new costume. So I knew that I had to be very particular about it, because I would tour the show, you know, for very brief intervals. It needed to be practical. It needed to suggest something about maybe some of the characters I refer to when I perform. So it couldn't be too elegant. It couldn't be too everyday housewife. So I tried to create something that is more of what a comfortable country squire's wife might wear. So I had fun being in New York at the time, shopping for the fabric. I found some beautiful crewel work that's on the costume that the shop told me came from Poland. And I had two people construct it for me. So that was also very personal to work on that and create the costume in that way.
And for those interested, we can find it in the Old Navy catalog under Country Squire's
exactly.
Wife wear.
And the shoes I wear, actually, this is just a quirky thing. You know how actresses or actors and directors like these things that perhaps no one else knows. I have a pair of shoes that I wore on my first visit to Stratford-upon-Avon. And I walked around Stratford in these simple little shoes. So the shoes I use have actually walked where they walked, or been in the Shakespeare birthplace.
So you absorbed the Mrs. Shakespeare mojo. Yeah,
and
from the source.
You know, I didn't want to clean the bottom of the shoes because I'm kind of superstitious that way. But I still use the same shoes. I've had them repaired, you know, a little bit over the years, but sturdy little things, I guess, like Anne herself. Kind of gives me a personal connection to her and the places that she spent time in.
I think it's wonderful that she is getting a voice now with this show that you're doing and lending that additional perspective to the life of Shakespeare. And we have a big anniversary coming up for Shakespeare himself. I believe next year, 2016, will be the 400th anniversary of his passing, his death.
Right, and we just celebrated his 450th birthday. So if you do the math, the next big anniversary kind of ends this period of several years where there's been a lot of additional attention to Shakespeare. When I opened my script to work on it again this time, that date of his death is at the top of the script. So it reminded me of kind of how I've tied those significant anniversaries into the piece. So over this next year, I'll be doing more with the piece and trying to fashion it in some different ways for educational offerings as well as performances and something for the big birthday and the big anniversary. Shakespeare died on the day that celebrated as his birthday.
Oh, because I was going to say, it's not really flattering to have a death that's celebrated so much. But I guess that makes sense. So his day of death and birthday are essentially the same as far as how they are celebrated. And it's in April, right?
It's April 23rd.
Yeah.
So that date was designated as the day people almost assuredly believe he was born because of when he was christened. Typically, mm-hmm. a christening would be 3 days after a baby's birth. So, and there are interesting things about that time that I've learned that, you know, there was terrible plague around that time. We might not have even had this man and the plays he wrote.
When you hear about all the horrible stuff that was going on, it's imagine people even survived back then.
Right.
At all.
Right. And the other thing I've explored is the fact that their son Hamnet was a twin. His sister was Judith. They were named for their best friends in Stratford. Perhaps that couple, Hamnet and Judith Sadler, were the godparents. We think they might be. But to survive the birth of twins with your twins at that time is a bit of an accomplishment.
And we can learn about all of this in your production on stage.
Yes. And it turns out that I'm able to kind of mine all of that and bring those emotions to the surface and have her tell the story, and then what I do is select sonnets and soliloquies that might be her using his words to help her express her emotions.
Now, do you yourself, Yvonne, feel as if you share anything in common with this character of Mrs. Shakespeare?
I do. I use my own grandmother as a lot of inspiration for this character. My grandmother was eventually the widow of a World War I veteran, but my grandfather came back from that terrible war and had all of those, you know, post-traumatic experiences and challenges that a lot of people did at that time. So she had to fend for herself a lot. And I related a lot to her personal journey in developing this play because she was resourceful. She found ways to have some income despite the fact she couldn't depend on him. Will was more dependable probably than my grandfather. Although I'd have to credit my grandfather and my mother's side of the family with a lot of the poetry and music that we learned and shared when I was growing up. So that was kind of a thing that we did in my family, reciting poetry to each other, learning poems and reading them or presenting them to my grandmother. So that's probably the biggest inspiration personally for that aspect.
And we have a great opportunity to see Mrs. Shakespeare in action coming up April 15th, I believe?
April 18th.
April
this year.
18th. And it was a teen.
It's 2015.
There we go.
That's but when I do the math, wow, I have spent a lot of years with this woman.
But it's been a while since we've seen her in Pittsburgh.
Yes, I believe it was 2010. I performed it very frequently here at the University of Pittsburgh in the English Room. The very first performance was in the Studio Theater when I was a graduate student, but the last time I performed it here in Pittsburgh was 2010, so it's been 5 years.
And April 18th, we have an opportunity to see her in conjunction with Prime Stage Theater.
I'm really thrilled because I think it's a great fit in terms of Prime Stage and their focus on literary pieces and plays that are, you know, based in literary works. So I was really excited when Wayne Brinder contacted me and asked me if I would do this.
There's a great promotional photograph of you as Miss Shakespeare that I've seen with the advertising. You're kind of sitting there. I think you have some books, and you're in the costume. You're kind of going like this. It's almost like, you better learn and listen to what I'm saying. It's great. It's compelling me to go, or else.
It's kind of like this.
Right.
And my Mrs. Shakespeare promotion, I use Mark My Words, which is something my mother used to say. So whenever I was looking at trying to develop something, it kind of captured it, and it was also a play on using Will's words, as well as some of my own. That's what we came up with. So that photograph kind of goes with that
You've brought
warning.
a little facsimile of your husband here.
We kind of have...
There are no small parts, just small actors, right?
Right. This is the Shakespeare action figure. I've taken him out of the box.
Yes.
He's armed with book and quill.
That's all you need, because the pen is mightier than the sword.
Exactly. And then I'm loving that we're having our conversation with him, you know, looking over our shoulder, but being very quiet while we're doing this.
Which is just how Mrs. Shakespeare wants it, right?
That's just how she likes it, yeah. He's kind of always looking over my shoulder.
He's had his due. And wait, can we do a little improv?
Sure.
Here? Between Shakespeare and Mrs.
Okay.
Shakespeare, we can maybe see kind of like what she would say. You know, it was like, oh, honey, I'm sorry, I'm late for dinner. We had a long day at the theater. We're doing this Hamlet thing, you know. What are we having for dinner?
Well, I have bought and stored the malt, collected the rents from the tenants, all before your instructions and your letters can arrive.
Oh, well, that's great. So you've read this Hamlet thing I've done. What do you think? Is it going to be a success?
I think it's very long and that you should probably take some words out.
Great. I'll add another act.
I'm not surprised.
That's wonderful. So you've got all these great props. What do you feel has been the effect of this show? Have you seen the results in how it reaches people or what it teaches them?
Well, one of the most gratifying things to me has happened at some performances where especially a younger person might come up to me afterwards and say, I knew nothing about Shakespeare, the man or his family, and I'm more curious now. I'd like to read the works. I'd like to learn more. When I've presented for high school groups, for example, it's just so engaging to hear what younger people particularly take from this piece.
Mm.
I presented at Pitt, for example. A lot of students from Pitt were in the audience, and some of the young men said, well, I don't think he was very nice to her. And they were not, I think, responding so much to my attitude towards Will, but just the reality that this man was not really around much while she was raising their children.
Why do I picture the Lockhorns? Was it like that a little bit, you think?
Maybe a little bit. So I found that it's been great fun to bring the character out for things like Shakespeare's birthday. I'm on the board now of Pittsburgh Shakespeare in the Parks, full disclosure. And we're having a lot of fun creating additional events, and Mrs. Shakespeare helps out. So I have an opportunity to throw flowers again at the Shakespeare statue on Shakespeare's birthday. And
in Pittsburgh, she has become sort of an ambassador of goodwill. How about that? I think that should be the subtitle for her. But sort of, yeah, an educational ambassador for Shakespeare in a very fun and engaging way.
Well, I think that's sort of evolved. It's been really fun doing that kind of promotion on the birthday because the Three Rivers Shakespeare Festival did that every year. That was one of the things we did for PR. And we would have someone dress as him and go over to the statue. So a few years back, Jennifer Tober, founder of Shakespeare in the Parks, and I generated an event called the Bard Walk right before she founded Shakespeare in the Parks. And we did that, and the Post-Gazette came out and took a photo, and I was throwing photos. You see the daisy kind of going in the air. And then last year for the big birthday, someone said, well, you're on the newspaper today. So I thought, oh, I'm in the newspaper. They took a photo. So I look at the front page of the Post-Gazette, and I see the Will statue above the fold. I'm like, oh, okay, that's great. They got a picture of the statue, and I opened it, and it was this huge picture of the statue and me. So I guess if there is an ambassador, I'm one of the people kind of carrying that Shakespeare mantle and doing it through the character of Anne and the story of his family.
Sure. Now I understand that Mrs. Shakespeare is a little old-fashioned in her ways, but does she have a website or a Facebook that we can follow her and keep in touch?
Yes, she has a Facebook page called Mrs. Shakespeare. I have a blog that I can't exactly give you the address for, but it's featured in the Mrs. Shakespeare Facebook page, and I'll be...
So Facebook's the best way to keep up to speed with the...
Right now, yes. And I'll be including their information about the Pittsburgh Shakespeare in the Parks Week of Will, a week-long celebration during which I'll be appearing a few times the eve of Shakespeare's birthday, and also you can find me at the statue on the 23rd, and all the information about various Shakespeare activities that week, as well as the show at Prime Stage, are also on that page with links.
Fantastic. Well, plenty of opportunities to see her and learn and enjoy from the Shakespeare, from the point of view of Mrs. Shakespeare. Indeed.
Well, thank you.
Looking
for giving
forward
me
to it.
This
In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and Bergvavant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find Berg Vivant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvivant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.